Well, so many thanks this morning. Thank you for our children. They did a great job. For all of the teachers, the parents, the grandparents, Sally for playing music. What a blessing it is to hear those sweet voices sing. Truly a blessing. As I've said before many times, that those children are the future of this church. And to have them participating in such a way right now, it truly is a blessing. Truly is a blessing. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are certain times of the church year, this being one of those Sundays where I want to get out of the way and let the words of Scripture and the music that we sing, the songs that we just heard our children sing, tell the story. And I just want to wrap those things together and maybe put a nice little bow on it for you real quick. Well, I was reminded earlier this week by my good friend, Rob Schluter, that it's time to fix the tire. You know, we've been using that flat tire analogy for a few weeks here. The flat tire analogy to describe the season of Advent, the deep meaning of it, that Advent is so much more than simply getting the house decorated and baking cookies and buying presents and wrapping presents and things like that. Advent is the time that those of us in the church, those of us who are the body of Christ here on earth, that we take time, intentional time, to stop, to pause, to be delayed, as the rest of the world continues at breakneck speed toward Christmas. We slow down and pause and reflect. We are on the side of the road with a flat tire. Well, now it's the time to put that flat tire back, put the spare tire on and move forward. We're almost there. We're almost to Christmas. And I don't know about you, but this Advent to me has been particularly Advent-y. But in that, in this season of preparing and pausing, has our attention and has our intention been in the right place? You know, this season inherently produces within us a realization that we have an absolute need for the Savior. Absolute need for the Savior to enter into our lives, but not only that, further to come back into our lives, bringing heaven and earth in the completion of all things that were begun by God at His command in creation. The second coming as well. We've heard these sweet voices of our children singing God's praises with Christmas songs, and what a blessing that is. And we have also heard from the Gospel of Matthew of just before Jesus is born, He comes to Joseph. And Joseph was maybe not exactly ready to listen, but at the time the conversation with the angel was over, Joseph was listening. His attention and his intentions then were drastically pointed toward the truth. And now I would like to say that is all of us. That all of us can now be drastically pointed toward the truth. So it's time to put the tire back on, get things repaired, and ready to go to Christmas. Though I do think that we know, because we have been pointed to the truth, that Jesus is really the one who's making the repairs. that Jesus is the one who fixes us when we're broken on the side of the road, that, you know, we may think that we have the ability to fix things ourselves, but in our own mortality, we, humanity, have proven that to be false again and again. We really can't fix things ourselves. This is another one of the manifold reasons that we have an absolute need for a Savior to come into the world. Joseph learned that day, that night, that his own Savior would be his son, would be his child, the baby to be born to his wife Mary through the great power of the Holy Spirit. And that baby to be born would be named, as the angel of the Lord told him, Emmanuel, which means God with us. The same name that the prophet Isaiah foretold to King Ahaz and the house of David. The one who would come into the world as a sign as high as heaven. The one who would be named Emmanuel, God with us. God with us because that is the way that it had to be. The only way that truth could be is if God came to us. And in order to restore and repair the brokenness in every human soul, God had to come from the glory of heaven to be with us, to dwell with mankind. He had to live the same life that we live, knowing the feeling of hunger and thirst, working for a living, mourning the loss of loved ones, being tempted in every single way, yet being the only one who could remain sinless through it all. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. God came with us to be with us, to repair our lives. He died to make those repairs. He bodily rose triumphantly from the grave of death, and then he ascended back into the glory of heaven for all of eternity. You know, this morning we heard these sweet voices sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. One of my favorite Christmas hymns. And they only sang the first verse, but the second verse, I want to read the words of the second verse of that hymn to you, because it is an acknowledgement that Jesus is God who has come to be with us. And we have the absolute need for that to be the case, for that to be the truth. This is what the second verse of Hark the Herald Angels is. Christ, thy highest heaven adored, Christ, the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. So friends, now is the time for the tire to come back on, for us to move forward toward the Holy One that we adore and worship, Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel. Amen.